Record slash vinyl revival.
Need a break? Relax. Grab a coffee. And join the conversation with Mariska on Two Sugars.
Great to have your company this spring afternoon. The blossoms are out and so is school. So, well, school is out if you are here in New Zealand, that is. So I'm guessing it's definitely time to take 25, sit down, relax and join the conversation. You're listening to Two Sugars with Mariska and Kim on 104.6 Planet FM. Great track. Wow. That kind of works with spring, doesn't it?
It does.
Is in the air.
Oh, yeah, you can feel it, hey?
Yeah, it's fantastic.
Everybody's got a bit more of a spring in their step.
Yeah.
Excuse the pun.
Talking about spring, it's time, I think, to I don't know, when spring comes, you kind of get out of hibernation, don't you? And off you go to do different things and think about what you're going to do differently. And one of the things I did differently, which I thought we might talk about today, is I went to a workshop where they used drawing So captured our conversation in visuals and drawing rather than kind of in words.
That's interesting.
Yeah. And it made a lot of sense. But it made a lot of sense to me because I'm a visual and oral person, so I like pictures and I like people to tell me. Mm. I don't want to read the book. Mm. I get bored, you know. And I think when you get a new appliance and it comes with a manual.
Yeah. Or I'd rather look at the picture.
Yeah. I'd just rather kind of get in and do it as well rather than think. And I know when we got our car, you would think manuals these days for cars would actually get smaller. Well, this one is huge,
oh, really?
Absolutely huge. And it's got all these new fandangled technology things it can do. It can probably do a whole lot more than I am asking it to do or it's doing by itself. But I can't be bothered flicking through that bloody manual.
No, who's got the time for that? I'd much rather spend my precious time on something I want to do.
It's even when something goes wrong, they think, well, this is not working. And Jeff goes, well, have a look in the manual. Oh, yeah. You know, 2 days later, it's still not working. Well, have you looked in the manual? No.
Exactly.
But it's got to show me.
Yeah, we are very visual. We are visual beings. And that's why TV is so important to so many people. And that's why we are so addicted to our screens.
Yeah, but I think people are different also, depending on how they prefer to take the information as well. Yeah. Because some people would like to just sit there, even if it's on a screen, to read rather than to look at pictures.
Mm.
Because I also know a few people that think looking at pictures is a waste of time.
Funny there too.
Because for them, the words are more important.
Oh, yeah. Interesting.
So, and there's a questionnaire you can do, and we've probably all heard of it. I call it VARK. It's VARK, and it stands for Visual, Oral, Read, Write, or Kinesthetic. And it gives you, you go through this questionnaire, and it gives you an idea of your preferred way of taking in information. And what you find is maybe that's why I really struggled in school or in this situation or whatever, because the information was just given to me kind of in one way, and that's a way I struggle with, you know.
I think it's really interesting because we do all learn differently. I know I have to make notes in order for it to actually sink in. I'm not able to just sit there listening and then take whatever it is that's been told to me. I have to make notes on that.
And interestingly enough, I bet you don't ever look at those notes again.
No.
But it's that.
Depending.
Yeah.
So if it's got something to do with the computer, you know, and I might get stuck with a step, then I can go back into my notes and go, oh, yes, okay, next step is that. But no, you really go back through my notes of what I've taken.
But it's so that's a way that you take in that information. And you'll often see that with people. And in this description, you would be in the category of read-write, might be your preferred way. And they find that a lot where you might write all those notes, but that's just the way that you're taking in the information. You might not actually ever refer to them again. Now, interesting, when you said you took notes, the first thing I thought of when you were talking about computer, I would screenshot.
Oh, okay.
I wouldn't say, right, step one, do this, step two. I would screenshot the steps.
Right.
Isn't that interesting?
Okay, interesting. But that's the thing, isn't it? We are all different. And how we take things in, it's different for everybody. And yet our school children are expected to just take it one way. And then we wonder why some kids just absolutely blossom and other kids really, 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 really struggle.
Yeah, and you kind of think that these things you would think would be quite early, or that certainly classroom and the way teachers present, because again, they say that the way that you prefer to take in information is likely the way you will give it out as well. But having that ability to actually connect with those different four ways of learning, so that within that one space you're trying to connect with every person, but that also takes a lot of work, I can imagine, as you're building a session, you know, and the kinesthetic to actually physically try it out, you know, to touch it, try it, whatever, and whether that's in a session, whether that's a role play or trying the product or whatever it is, but trying
it's
to
true.
Reach all of those different ways to even reach your clients as well.
Well, I mean, if, you know, a thought just came to me now. I mean, when we are babies, that's how we learn, isn't it? By touch and see. Because we're not able to read. Words mean nothing to us. They're just objects. So that is how we start learning. is by touching and seeing. That's why babies have always got things in their mouth, because that's how they learn. Funny that.
Actually, this is going totally off topic here, but this was a seeing thing as well, and there was a fact, I can't remember which program, it's called, I think, Ducks Don't Quack. Or do ducks quack? It's something like that. But anyway, the celebrities there, and they put forward a fact.
Yeah.
And it's kind of, can we disprove this fact? Is it actually a fact? And one of the things was that babies prefer their fathers to be a bit chubbier than muscle men.
Oh, wow.
So they tried it out. So what? And the way they did this, and again, it was very visual, because of course, you're right, this, for a baby, that visual is very important.
Yeah.
So they took the father's photo, and then they took photos of bodies and put, you know, the father's head on that, and they put the chubby one on one side, you know, like a big full-size screen, poster shot. And interestingly enough, the baby looked more to the chubby one.
Wow. That's interesting.
Yeah.
I wonder why that would be.
Well, they kind of brainstormed it a bit, and they decided because it's soft, it's probably more like mama's right at that time as well.
Right.
You know.
So mum's normally got a bit of usually extra after birth.
Yeah.
Mm. Oh, wow.
Yeah. And I suppose it's a bit softer and cuddly. Who knows?
More, I suppose, what's the word I'm looking for? Easier to identify with, I guess, and softer rather than the hard, muscly, lean.
And it was interesting because the fathers were different types, so it was still the baby's father's head, you know.
Yes,
but it was just, but it was interesting how they had to do this research visually, because obviously, you know, the babies, I think it was 1 to 6 months or something.
Okay,
you know, so they
teeny tiny.
Yeah,
they had no idea.
Oh no, hang on, it might be a little bit, but they were sitting up on their parent's knee.
Okay,
anyway,
so
within
about
that
6 months.
Yeah.
Wow. So that's really interesting.
Mm.
So just shows that we're so all so different, you know. Yet we all lumped in one sort of group and told, okay, this is how you should learn, and if you don't learn like that, you're stupid.
Exactly, and you get left behind.
And you get left behind, and you start thinking, well, maybe I am stupid, but we're not. We just learn differently.
Or you're labelled a troublemaker because you're bored and you're not kind of getting it.
Yeah.
I kind of always think, you know, when you go to the accountant and they start dribbling on about numbers and stuff, and I thought, hey, just show me a graph and I'll get it, you know?
Yeah.
These numbers are just going way over my head, and I'm, you know. And so I think it is, you know, as you try and get across information, how you get that across. And I suppose, you know, within this workshop too, thinking that if you have a vision as a company and you tell that vision, or you thought you have told that vision to everybody, and yet you've still got staff and they're thinking, I have no idea where we're going.
Mm.
Is it because the way that vision's been presented that some of those staff just don't get it?
Well, the thing is too, you know, people take so much different... how can I explain this? You know, you can say something to somebody and you can say the exact same thing to somebody else and they'll take it completely differently. So, you know, words to other people have different meanings. So I can understand, you know, that you might not understand what the possible vision is that's been explained to you unless you see it visually for yourself. Okay, this is what we want. This is where we're going. John and I do a lot of motivational talks, free motivational talks, and our one talk is very visual. It's all about, you know, drawing on the whiteboard, and everybody comes away with that, with super clear clarity about where they're going, what the talk was about, because it's all visual and how we've explained it has been on the whiteboard. And John, he swears blind that whenever he has a talk to his staff, whenever he has a team meeting, the whiteboard, there has to be a whiteboard present. And that's how you get, you know, staff involvement and people start putting things down on the whiteboard. And that's when things actually start sinking in and people start understanding it a bit better.
And I think, you know, you don't need to do it all yourself either.
Mm.
So just when you were talking there, if you've got a team of people and someone's actually is really visual or you know, and can do capture what you're presenting in, you know, that visual way, use them.
Yeah.
Why try and do it all yourself?
Absolutely.
Because, you know, if you can't represent it that way, it's just going to look an absolute mess, really, isn't it?
Yeah, and confuse everybody even more.
Yeah. So you kind of think, you know, use people that, that can present that differently. And you're right, when, especially, you know, when there's change in an organisation, you know where you're headed. And you've already kind of got a vision of maybe how you're going to get there. But that's all in your head.
Explaining that and getting it, the explanation spot on so everybody understands is very different. Yeah, yeah.
And you're coming from a particular context and maybe, you know, your staff don't have that same context as you do. Mm. So even setting the context around that explanation might often be important as well.
Well, it's the same thing as, you know, people coming from different countries understand things differently. So, for instance, coming from South Africa, a traffic light is called a robot. And when we first came here and we told friends, turn left at the robot, they were, what? Robots? We are the robots. And we couldn't quite understand what they were going on about. And then we realized, oh, traffic light. So, you know, you could be coming through and explaining your vision of the company and thinking you're doing a great job. It's pretty clear. And you still get staff going, I don't quite understand what he said, because my meaning to that word and his meaning to that word is completely different. Yeah, visually,
yeah,
it should be the same.
And interestingly enough, I wonder whether South Africa will change that word robot now that robot is, is, you know, is in our world, meaning something quite different.
I doubt it.
Yeah. So there'll be total confusion. Well, which robot do you mean? You know, the one that's vacuuming my house, this little machine, or the traffic light?
Yeah. It'll be confusion all over, I can imagine.
But you're right, you know, and a lot of research says that communication and culture, you can't, you know, isolate them from each other because it is within that context that you learn your language and the way you speak. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Let's just take a break for a moment and we'll be back with you very shortly. But again, think about, how do you put across your message, or how do you prefer to take in information?
Get down tonight, 'cause it's always a good time. Slept in all my clothes like I didn't care. Hopped into a cab, take me anywhere. I'm in if you're down to get down tonight. It's always a good time.
Good morning and good
always a good time with us, isn't it?
Yeah, I reckon. Who wouldn't want to be here?
Oh, absolutely, especially when spring's around.
Yeah.
I was just thinking, you know, just what we were talking about earlier with regards to how visual we are as human beings. And it really does start when we are very much younger. And even with reward charts, now when my children were younger, and to get them into helping out around the house and maybe earning a little bit of pocket money, we used to have reward charts. And we would, for the younger ones, have pictures of making your bed, brushing your teeth, you know, saying please and thank you or whatever it was. And then you have your rewards of, you know, the stars that you get throughout the week and what your reward is at the end of it. Yeah, so it starts already then, yet it seems to peter out as soon as they go to school and the handwriting comes into play. The pictures start losing.
Yeah, as you learn to read and write. Mm. So you're now being shifted to another way. And actually, when you were talking about that, I don't think we ever had reward charts, but I do remember, you know, as you're talking, this visual journey you start when we first started school and you have to go to the dental clinic. And I don't know if all schools have that anymore, yeah. But we had a dental clinic. Well, we called it the murder house, to be fair. And they would always give you a sticker to put by your toothpaste in your bathroom that visually showed how to brush your teeth. Yeah.
So it just shows.
Yeah.
I mean, it's actually quite sad that we've done away with the visual so much, because that's how we've, you know, grown up learning. And I think a lot of children would find it so much easier learning with the visual. I understand that writing is important and to understand, but, you know, I think it's important to have both, because
yeah.
I think you use a different part of your brain when it comes to the visual side and when it comes to the written word. Two different sides of your brain are working there.
Yeah, and then you've got to be able to apply that as well,
yeah.
so to actually try it out. Mm. So, well, we'll put the website link up on our Facebook to the VARC questionnaire. And, yeah, go and find out what your preferred way of taking in information is, and suddenly everything might make sense to you as well. Well, that's it for this lovely spring afternoon.
It is indeed.
Yeah.
Time flies when you're having fun.
Absolutely. Yeah. We'll catch you the same time, same place next week.
Turn around, open your eyes, look at me now. Turn around, girl, I've got you, we won't fall down. Yeah. We can see.